This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Yes, I am. And I am so happy to be with you today. I certainly am. All kinds of good things our Lord wants to do in your life. I have so much I want to share with you today, but I want you to share with me. So I'm inviting you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation. Oh my goodness, we surely do. So do use that number. Use it frequently and often. Those mean the same thing. Just use it. Use it today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I couldn't get to all of you yesterday, but I'm here today and I will take your questions from yesterday or questions that you have about anything else that you want to talk about. And perhaps, you know, kind of like just ping off of a couple of things that I'll be sharing with you as soon as I go through what I go through here at the beginning of the show. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, and I'm inviting you to use the chat feature there. We will get your question retrieved and up on the board. I'll be able to address it, and we can move forward there. We can get your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement by text as well. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and then give us your information, you know, who you are, where, how you're listening to us, and what your question or comment might be. Keep it short because it's a text message after all, and send it on to us and we will be able to address it as well. Do want to let you know, I'm not sure about this. I'm going to reduce this screen that I've got up here. We do have Matt Gabensky out there on the phones today. Yes, we do. He is our call screener. Michael McCall out there on social media. If you're a first-time caller or a first-time submitter, let us know and I will ring my bell. Do you hear that bell? This is my welcome bell. I welcome you for your debut when you call in and you let us know that you're a first timer. So we certainly do, you know, enjoy all of the opportunities that we have to hear from you. So I want you to take advantage of those and share with us. Wow. Let's see. What else do I want to? Oh, I want to talk with you about our Benedicta Leadership Institute for Women. This Institute for Women offers an opportunity for a certification in Catholic women's leadership. It also offers for you an opportunity for spiritual enrichment. And the classes are actually the same. They're beautiful. We've got a week-long immersive coming up at St. Bernard's Abbey. And that is located in Coleman, Alabama. That is happening the week of October the 14th through the 20th. I just want to let you know, because a lot of people say, well, I just don't know, you know, there's so much that's going on right now in terms of opportunities to do things. But if the Lord is prevailing upon you, if you just feel this prompting of the Holy Spirit, a little exhilaration in your heart or butterflies in your stomach, or just a sense of, I should really do this, you know, that is the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And you want to heed that, because it means that he has great blessings and great graces in mind for you. And we want for you to come. I'm eager for you to come. We can help you come. We do have financial aid / scholarship kind of opportunities available for you. So we don't want that to stand in your way. We want for you to be equipped as a daughter of the Most High God to live out that glorious mission that is yours by way of the action of God's life in you. And also in the moments that occupy your life, whether it's in the professional mode, whether it is in the, you know, raising children mode, whether it is in the single state, whether it's in the married state, whether it's in religious vocation. I don't really know how it is that God is calling you specifically, but I do know this. He is calling you specifically by way of your gender to be an influencer in the milieu that he's entrusted to you. We want to help you to do that, because I am thoroughly convinced, and it's not me, I'm dumping off of the documents of the Second Vatican Council, the closing message to women. God has an amazing mission for women today. He tells us through, you know, the spoken word of the Vicar of Christ in these closing messages, he tells us that we women who are impregnated by the spirit of the gospel can do so much to aid humanity in not falling. Even going so far is to encourage us to reconcile men with life and to watch carefully over the hand of man who in a moment of folly might attempt to destroy human civilization. Women, we are called, they say, to save the peace of the world. Now, that is a big deal. But you are called to step into that with great confidence and hope and trust in God, that he will lead you and he will guide you. And he wants for you to have that, you know, interior equipment that you need to affect that in the world today. And that's what we want to help you try to do. So please do go out to our website, read about this upcoming Fall Immersive. Know that we can help you get here if you don't have the wherewithal to be able to do that on your own. We want for you to join us. So please go out and take a look. It's going to be lovely. The dignity of dust, contemplating our humanity. How can we be who we're called to be if we don't know who we are in the first place? We're going to explore that big question by looking at the reality of humanity, male and female, he created them, but then zooming in a very particular way on the feminine person, on who we are called to be. You know, what is it about our gender that God wants to use? And remember that the gender is not immutable. You know, it is right down to the DNA. It tells us who we are. We want to explore that. I think it could help so many women to come out of this kind of a morass that so many are caught up in with regard to identity crisis relational to their gender. You know, we have to preach the truth to our daughters and help them to understand who they are as daughters of the Most High God. All of that has been basically, I think, the word that comes into my mind is smudged. It's been smudged. It's been blurred in the culture of the day. So there's a lot. But God is looking to us to help to make this change in the outlook and perspective of our secular culture today. I really have to say our godless, our post-Christian, our post-truth culture today, as our chairman of the board, Michael Warsaw, reminds us, it's a post-truth culture that we're living in today. So all of that being said, get out to our website and take a look. You know, I want to dig into some stuff with you today because, you know, I wanted to share with you a little bit about my prayer time when we come back from the break. I want to get into a little bit of chapter 8 in St. Matthew's Gospel. I want to read to you, too, from a beautiful book, St. Joseph, the Man Closest to Christ, by Father Sebastian Walsh. Jack and I recently were at the shrine of Our Lady Queen of Peace in Sioux City, Iowa. If you've not been there, you want to journey there because this is a remarkable place. And we went into the gift shop there, and boy, this book caught my eye. And I thought, I know the Holy Spirit's prompting me. I've got to get this book. And boy, am I glad I did. So I want to share with you a little bit out of this. But mostly I want to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Go to your phone and give us a call. Looking forward to hearing from you. We're going to be right back today. Take heart. Our Lord is with us. He's got big plans in mind for us and great graces to bestow upon us. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Jeanette Williams, very happy to be with you today. Do want to give you those numbers to use to join us live here on Women of Grace Live. Matthew Gubensky is waiting to hear from you, and I know he wants to chit-chat with you before he gets you up on the board for me to chit-chat with you. If you're a first-time caller, do let Matt know. He'll let me know. I'll ring my bell for you to welcome you for your debut. The number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 866. It's toll free for you right here in North America. We are also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Simply use the chat feature there to put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Michael McCall will retrieve that and get it up on the board. And you might be wondering, why am I seeing the Women of Grace logo and not Johnette? Well, I'm going to tell you why. I had surgery on Monday on my eye. I am so excited about it. I had a cataract removed, and on October the 1st, I will have another one removed on my left eye. So I'm very much in need of your prayers, and I would appreciate you praying for me. What a great, great thing this was for me. I can't get over it, to tell you the truth. I knew my vision was compromised by the cataract. You know, there was no question about that. But, you know, they have to get to a certain point before they will remove them. Now, I've worn glasses since I was 10 years old. And, when I was 16, I began to wear contact lenses. So I've been wearing contact lenses when contact lenses were still hard plastic lenses in your eyes. You know, you had to grow a callus there, actually, to be able to tolerate them, which I did, and wore for a number of years until the soft lenses came out. And then I moved on to those. But all of that being said, my vision was not corrected even with correction because the cataract was interfering. So my distance vision was very severely compromised, and even my close-up vision, and even, you know, with wearing readers, I was struggling to read. And you know, I read a lot. I read to interview people, you know. I read a lot of books. There for a while, I was reading up to 3 books a week. And I'm always reading, generally speaking, at least one book for the work that I do, on EWTN television. But I am also reading for my own spiritual enrichment and for the writing that I do. I do a lot of writing. So I use my eyes a lot. So I knew that things were not the way that they needed to be. And finally came that lovely moment when the doctor said, yeah, these have to come off. Any of you out there that, you know, are waiting for this moment, you have just a great gift coming your way. In addition to that, if you've been putting it off for any reason because you feel nervous about it or whatever, I just want to reassure you that it's a very quick surgery. It couldn't have been longer than 5-10 minutes. Of course, I was not completely with it. They give you a slight sedative. You're not really under because they may need for you to move your eye one way or the other, which the doctor didn't ask me to do, at least what I remember of it. But that being said, it's very quick. The recovery is very easy. And within the first hours after this surgery, immediately thereafter, my vision improved, remarkably. And now I am seeing more clearly than I've seen in years and years and years. But that being said, we're not using my image because I can't put any makeup on. Isn't that awful to say, but it's ever so true, you know? I'm just a product of my day and time, you know? So... I'm not looking my best. So therefore, I am not going to impose that upon you. I oftentimes tease and say, wearing makeup can be an act of charity in some cases. And in my case, that's definitely the truth. So, I want to be charitable. So therefore, I don't have my image up there and won't for the next, a few weeks because I can't wear makeup until a week after. But then immediately the week after this surgery, I'm having the other eye done. So it's going to be the middle of October, I guess, sort of, kind of. But anyway, that's okay. It's perfectly all right. But I just wanted to explain that to you just so you understood what's going on in my little world here. So that's the deal. But we are available for you, even though you can't see me. I am here. This is my voice, truly and really. So I'm with you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Or go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and communicate with us that way. Or text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Then text us your first name and your brief question. Know that message and data rates may apply. All of that being said, eager to hear from you today. Now, I want to remind you that yesterday was Wacky Wednesday. Sue Brinkman was with us, and we had a caller, a very lovely, lovely woman, and she was concerned about whether or not it was okay to do Hatha yoga, which is the stretch and exercise yoga as it's being sold, but that's not really what it is at all. It truly is a Hindu practice. It is meant to get you in touch with the all is one. The all is one is the Hindu notion of who God is. They see God as an energy force, the life force energy. Anytime you hear life force or energy balancing or any of that kind of stuff, you know that this is a description of the way in which Eastern Oriental mysticism sees God. He's not a personal God. He is not Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He is this impersonal life force energy. You can see how well this has been weaved into the culture of the day, especially when it comes to environmental concerns. We hear that. We hear it in terms of, positive energy, negative energy, being able to attract things by way of the energy that we are opening ourselves up to. All of this stuff. So I want you to understand that all yoga is a means of tapping into this. And just to give you a little bit of background on this, you have to think about, well, there's at least three heresies that are associated with this worldview. The first is monism, that all is truly one. It's a dualistic look that God is, matter is evil, and God is good, but somewhere in us, this God life is, not in the sense of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, but in the sense of this life force energy. And our problem is that we just haven't tapped into this. And so all of these modalities and practices in these Eastern Oriental religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, etc., are riveted towards that, to getting you in touch with your own God power. And then they have that's monism. All right. That's monism, to get you in touch with the fact that you truly are God. So the second one is pantheism. They believe that this life force energy is in all things. So in their essence, all things are God, not a reflection of God. Not something that helps for us to see his glory and his majesty, his beauty and his creativity, but that in their essence, everything is God. Okay. And so the idea is, that goes back to this monistic idea, right? So you can see how the two of those work together. Well, if the life force energy is God, and this life force energy is in all things, then all things are God. If I exist, which I do, therefore I must be God, right? And so we want to find that. And so there's this sense of Gnosticism, right? That we save ourselves by way of discovering this God who we are, right? So you can see how all of this is that, right? But demons hide behind all of these notions, and Sue and I talk about that quite regularly. I shared with you yesterday about so the answer to this young woman is no, you can't. If you want to be true to your faith, you cannot practice any kind of yoga, even hatha yoga. It's dangerous. It's dangerous because it becomes an open door to demonic activity. And I shared with you about the Exorcist Files by Father Carlos Martins, and that last week he posted a part one of an explanation of this. And his Exorcist Files explains these things by way of dramatization as well as commentary. So, he's telling the story of somebody and commenting as you go through the story. I'm eager for part two. I think it's up there. I haven't listened to that yet. But just this morning, I received something from Father John Paul Zeller here. You all know who he is. He's one of our friars here at EWTN. And he and I had been talking about these matters on Sunday. And he sent me a very short video by Taylor Marshall interviewing Father Chad Ripiger. And this is like a minute 44 seconds. And basically the bottom line is that Father Ripiger says exactly the same thing. Talks about how he worked as an exorcist with two women who were possessed because of yoga, and other individuals who were already possessed, but because of yoga attracted even more demons and complicated the process. So I'm really encouraging you. you know, I'm encouraging you, if you're involved in these kinds of activities, to get out of the involvement with them, you know, to go to the sacrament. Maybe you haven't experienced any kind of negativity from this or anything that you would relate to this. But it is possible that perhaps some of the issues that are developing in your life, especially if you can kind of judge the onset back to that point in time, it's possible. I'm not saying it is. It's possible there's a connection. Additionally, as I explained yesterday with Father Carlos's exorcist files on this, he I think, you know, used a very, very good analogy, two of them really. He talked about how it is that, you know, certain creatures come in packs. And he said that raccoons do that, and that, you know, a group of raccoons is called a gaze. Any of you that's ever come upon a raccoon at night knows what that is. I know what that is because I used to get raccoons in my garbage bins out by the side of my house, which was by my bedroom window in Florida. And I would hear them out there, and I would peer out that window. And oftentimes that gaze saw me through the window, but they didn't care. They just went on doing their deal. You know, I would bang on the window, and sometimes that would chase them away. But I did cure the problem. I put mothballs in my garbage bins, and that took care of it. They went away and never came back. Anyway, he talked about how what they'll do is if they find a location where there's food, in the case of my situation, then they will communicate that to the other raccoons that are in their gaze, and more than one will come. And that was the case with me. I had more than one raccoon out there on many occasions. So he says, you know, and that's kind of the same way that it works with the demonic. When they find an opening, they will send out, you know, telepathically signals to other demons, and more will come. And that's what Father Ripiger was basically alluding to today. But he also used another analogy, and that was a house. He said, you know, for example, you can own a house in another state. For example, he used the state of Florida, and you own that house. Perhaps you've never visited that house, but you know, should you ever want to, it's available to you because it's yours. Well, when we engage in these kinds of activities, I was talking specifically here about yoga, but it's any of the activities that we are cautioned against. All of the occult activities, for example, a lot of the you know, kinds of human potential techniques that are out there today, a lot of the alternative modalities that are there, like Reiki and healing touch and these things. We are actually inviting the demon in. Whether we intend that or not doesn't really matter. The devil doesn't care about intentionality, not one twit and whittle. God cares about intentionality. The devil does not. He does not play fair. He sees this as a yes on your part, and he comes. He possesses it. He knows that he owns it. And when I say possess, I'm not talking about possession. He knows that he owns it. And anytime he wants to enter there and create chaos, he can. So if you've been participating in these activities and nothing bad has happened yet, well, praise be to God for that, but it doesn't mean that it won't. It doesn't mean that it won't, because he knows that he has an open door there. And anytime he decides that he wants to enter in there, he can. I'm not telling you this to scare you. I'm telling you this to remedy the situation by removing yourself from it and then taking it to the sacrament of reconciliation. You know, even if it's inadvertent, you've not committed a sin if it's inadvertent. If you're hearing this today, then, you know, that's something for you to work out with your confessor, because now you know. And so therefore, you know, you are culpable. But that's for you to work out with your confessor. But the fact of the matter is, if you were unaware in the past and you're hearing this, go to the sacrament and receive the sacrament for its healing benefit. You know, there's no sin because you didn't know. You have to know that something's a sin in order to commit a sin. But in this case, you didn't know. But nonetheless, avail yourself of the sacrament. Renounce what you were doing. Reject what you were doing. And repent, you know, for what you have done. Even though it wasn't sinful, you know, sometimes, don't you just sometimes inadvertently hurt somebody's feelings? And what do you say? I'm sorry. I didn't intend that. I'm sorry. It's that kind of a repentance, okay? So, you know, I'm sharing that with you. So I kind of wanted to finish up that conversation from yesterday. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have a holy conversation with you. And I'm telling you this because, you know, God loves you so much. He's loved you into life. He's been in love with you from before the very foundations of the world were set in place. He has always known you. He's always seen you. You've always been in his heart. And when he knew it was particularly the right moment for you to have life, he gave you life. And why? Because he wants for you to have relationship with him. He wants nothing to stand in the way of that relationship. He wants for you to enter into the wholeness of his love for you and to receive as much of him as you possibly can. But if we're holding on to things that we know are objectionable, if we're holding on to things that we know are outside the will of God, and of course, this yoga business is outside of the will of God. It's a sin against the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Even the practice of it is in some way, you know, weaving us into that philosophy because we're doing it. We're putting our bodies into the positions of Hindu deity. What are we doing here? It's a false god. God, right? So, God, this God of love who loves you into life, who sustains you by his life, wants to have relationship with you. And he doesn't want anything to block it or to stand in the way, certainly not sin. He wants for us to allow our hearts to be expanded through prayer and through the living of virtue, that we might contain more of him and more of him and more of him, and then be his love in the world. You know, be an instrument of his in the world, a conduit of his divine and holy grace in life. So, you know, all of that being said, he's got great plans in mind for you. Oh my goodness, wonderful ones. We'll talk about it some more. 833-288-EWTN. Looking forward to hearing from you right here today. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Happy to be with you today. Eager to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. Hey, if you're listening to us in Raleigh or Durham, North Carolina, your station needs to hear from you next week. Divine Mercy Radio will air their fall pledge drive starting on Monday. So listen, if you're listening in North Carolina or anywhere, remember to support your EWTN Catholic radio station. So, you know, all of you listening in Raleigh or Durham, North Carolina, show up next week for your radio affiliate, Divine Mercy Radio, and support their pledge drive. These stations stay on the air through your generosity, through your donations, and the great work that's being done by way of them is immeasurable. You'll only know it in heaven. And if you participate in helping to keep that station on the air through your donations, I can assure you, when you get to heaven, Jesus is going to say, look at all of those people over there that are in heaven. They're here because of Divine Mercy Radio, and you helped to keep it on the air. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come into eternal bliss. So I would like to hear those words. So I like to support Catholic radio, and I hope you do too. And next week, you there in Raleigh or Durham, North Carolina, you've got your opportunity with Divine Mercy Radio. We have Sandy calling us. We're going to get her on the air here in just a moment. But, you know, it's a beautiful thing, you know, how it is that God desires that he work in us and he works through us. And And there's really quite a beautiful, beautiful explanation of this in the book that I mentioned to you earlier on. And that is, the book is entitled St. Joseph, the Man Closest to Christ. And there's a whole section in here on the divine economy. We're going to go to Sandy's call. When we come back from Sandy's call, I want to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. And that's 833-288-3986. And we want to, for you to use that opportunity, as well as EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, which is out there for you. And we invite you to text your questions to EWTN, those letters, EWTN, to 58177. Leave a short little response there for us. And also let us know who you are and where you're calling from. Remember that message and data rates may apply. Sandy there in Youngstown, Ohio. Hi, Sandy. Living Bread Radio is the way she's listening to us today. How are you doing?
Hi, Jeanette. I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyway, I was listening to your program yesterday, and I was a little bit confused. I think I might have misheard something when you were talking about, you and your guest, I forget her name, were talking about you know, the yoga and ghosts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was confused because it was the end of the show and they were saying about energy, how our spirits are energy. And when we pass, like, I know the Bible says, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I was confused on the teaching about the spirit going into the ground and becoming part of the earth or something like that. I just wanted to clarify that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I think you did misunderstand. So, you know, we as human persons, the Catechism defines us in this way. It says that we are a composite of body and soul. All right. So, we are not just a body. We're not just matter. And we're not just, you know, pure spirit. We are a combination of that. When we die, our body goes into the ground. Now, at the resurrection, coming of Jesus, our bodies will be resurrected from the dead and joined once again to our soul. But our soul doesn't die. You know, our soul has immortality. That's church teaching. It goes on forever. So, you know, when we die, we stand before the throne of God, not corporeally, not in our body, but our soul stands before him. We're there in spirit. And he pronounces, you know, what our judgment is going to be. Heaven, you know, if we don't need any cleaning up. Purgatory, if we need some cleaning up. And if we don't deserve heaven because we are in a state of mortal sin, then, you know, we are going to burn in the everlasting fire of hell for all eternity. So what Sue was saying is that, you know, ghosts, you know, that whole concept of spirits wandering the earth. Spirits wandering the earth, that they're trapped somehow in this earthly dimension for whatever reason. She says that would be outside of the providential reality of who God is. God loves us. He wouldn't let us wander around, in this state of transition. He wouldn't do that. And we are taught through our faith that when the body dies and the soul leaves the body, it goes immediately before the throne of God and judgment is pronounced, as I just mentioned, heaven, hell, or purgatory. So this notion that we have ghosts, you know, that are haunting places is not true. These are not ghosts. What are they then? Well, they're demonic presences. And a demonic presence, you know, can take on the guise of or the appearance of someone that once lived in that house, and so once occupied that office space or whatever the case may be. They can do that. They can manifest themselves in that way. So she says, but the fact of the matter is that it's not that person, because that body of that person is no longer available. It's in the ground, you know, it's decomposing in the coffin, or it's been burned through cremation. So she says that they're not ghosts in the sense of these, individuals who are just in this state of, you know, neither heaven nor fully of the earth. No, God in his mercy would not permit that to happen. So there, does that help you?
Well, I'm still concerned about what they said at the end about the spirit going back to the earth because it's part of the earth, because it's energy. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I don't think she's talking about this. She wasn't talking about the spirit. The spirit does, you know, when we talk about our spirit, you know, there, you know, our soul, we've got the, there, you know, soul is an animator of life. So everything living, including plants, have a soul, according to St. Thomas Aquinas. But we're talking about the immortal soul of a human person here. And that's spirit, right? So, you know, our spirit doesn't decompose. It doesn't go into the ground. It's separated from the body. The body goes into the ground and it decomposes, you know, and I mean, it, you know, the body itself, if the body is not, you know, encased in a coffin, you know, the body is still going to decompose, but it, it, you know, you are dust and unto dust you shall return. We hear that, you know, on Ash Wednesday when we're being signed with ashes, you are dust and unto dust you shall return. The body decomposes, it goes, it basically becomes part of the, you know, substance of matter. It is matter. It returns to being pure matter. The soul is in its eternal reward at some one of those three stages, and so or places rather, and so you know we can acknowledge that, you know, anything that decomposes, the body of an animal, you know, it becomes part of the matter of the earth again. But at the resurrection, you know, God will reattach us to what our body was. We will have a new body. It tells us in sacred scripture. It'll be, you know, we will rise from the dead. Now, how that's going to happen, I don't quite know. It's not happened yet, so I don't know. But, you know, it's not that the spirit of a person ever goes into the ground. It doesn't. It immediately leaves the body. We don't know exactly when it leaves the body. We know that life terminates when the heart stops beating. That's the cessation of life. Is that the cessation, however, is that the marker that determines when the soul leaves the body? Theologians don't really have an answer. They speculate that the soul can remain in the body for a period of time, a short period of time afterwards, which is why sometimes they will still administer the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, extreme unction, the extreme unction portion of it for a soul that has, or for a body that has expired and has stopped breathing, because we're not sure when the soul leaves, but it certainly leaves in a short period of time, because Jesus says, you know, scripture tells us, he says through his apostle Paul, that it is appointed to man to live once and die, and then the judgment. So we die and then we're judged.
One more question concerning this.
Sure.
That so many of people that I know, my friends, and they're, you know, getting cremated.
Yes.
And yet the Catholic Church is accepting this, and I don't understand why the change.
Well, so here's what the Catholic Church teaches. The Catholic Church does not look at cremation in the same way as it looks at the burial of a body. You know, it is always right and just to bury a body. Cremation is meant to be an extraordinary event. It's not meant to be, you know, equated with the same kind of approbation as burial. That's just a plain fact. Why are people doing it today? Because it saves money. That's why people are doing it today. And some people, you know, they just have an aversion to the idea of, you know, being put in the ground, but I would prefer that than being put into the fire. But anyway, the fact of the matter is the church says that that's not to be the ordinary way. The fact that so many Catholics are choosing it today is regrettable. It would probably be good to have some teaching coming from our pulpits on this matter. It's not to be equated in the same way whatsoever. So, you know, why does the church permit it? Well, you know, whenever there's a, you know, a moment in time when lots of people, for example, in the past would die of the bubonic plague or whatever the case would be, there would be mass graves. And the only way really to resolve some of that was through, you know, cremation. There in some places, you know, real estate is very hard to come by in very congested kinds of locations. And so, therefore, the space is not available. So, you know, the church permits it, but it's not to be our first option.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your answering my questions.
You're so welcome, Sandy. Anytime, please do just call whenever you have a question. And I'll answer it to the best of my ability. I don't know everything, but I know some things. And I can comment on those. Thank you, Sandy.
We won't know everything until we get there.
That's exactly the case. So thank you very much. So we appreciate your call today. And friends, we want to hear from you too. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. EWTN. And you know, another point on that, Sandy, is maybe what you heard, depending upon when you came into that conversation yesterday with Sue, you might have heard what Sue was saying about people who do not believe in the fact that our souls are immortal and go on for all eternity. You might have heard her saying that there are people that believe that when the body goes into the ground, the spirit goes into the ground. You know, it's over, kaput, that's it. You're done. So it would be a very materialistic point of view that everything is about, you know, matter, that there is no heaven, there is no hell, there is no purgatory, there's no eternal life. So you might have heard her speaking about that, and I thank that. I thank you for your call, as I say. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. So, you know, we were talking about, you know, how it is that God moves in the world and why it is that you're so important to him. And I was sharing with you a little bit, and when we get this next caller up, we'll take the next caller. St. Joseph, the Man Closest to Christ, this book written by Father Sebastian Walsh. I encourage you to get a copy of it. It's lovely. He talks about the divine economy. And he's talking specifically about St. Joseph now, but he says, to answer the question about whether or not devotion to St. Joseph draws us closer to Jesus, we must answer a prior question. Namely, does God normally prefer to communicate truth, grace, and salvation directly or through some created instrument? He says, if God normally prefers to use creatures as his instruments for communicating truth, grace, and salvation, it is reasonable to think that God uses certain saints as privileged instruments to bring about a closer union with him. He continues, Jesus once said, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Father writes, that is a remarkable statement, and it came true. For example, Jesus never healed anyone with his shadow, but Peter did. See Acts 5, verse 15. Jesus never converted 3,000 persons in one sermon, but Peter did. See Acts 2, 41. Some saints perform more remarkable resurrections than Jesus did. For example, St. Vincent Ferrer raised a child that had been totally dismembered. He says, why is it that some saints perform greater miracles than Jesus did? Is it because Jesus could not do this himself? Clearly not. But for some reason, Jesus wanted to do more through Peter and his other disciples than directly himself. He says, here are two reasons why God would choose to do greater works through the instrumentality of his saints than directly. He says, first, every father has the experience of wanting his children to be as good as they can be. In fact, he says, I know of no father who does not desire that his children be better than himself. He says, God is no exception. He wants to communicate as much good as possible to his children. You remember I was saying we don't want to get involved in things that prevent us from receiving everything God wants us to receive, that we might become more God-like. He wants to communicate as much good as possible to his children, and he wants them to have and be worthy of as much honor as possible. So God communicates the dignity of being true and real causes of salvation to his children. This makes his creatures more like himself. A second and perhaps more profound reason God chooses human instruments to communicate his grace and salvation is to strengthen the bonds of love between men. If God truly uses us as instruments of his grace and salvation, if he uses the person who baptized you to give you the divine life, or the priest who absolved your sins to put you in his grace, or the friend who prayed and obtained the grace for your conversion, or whatever, then we shall have them to thank one day for a good as great as salvation itself. When we are safely in our fatherland one day, God willing, we shall be able to look one another in the eye and say, thank you. If it had not been for you, I would not have been saved. And this will increase our love for one another in heaven tremendously. nor will we love God any less, since we will see clearly that all grace and salvation has its original source in God, even though it came to us through instruments, like the fruit from the vine through the branches. And so, what I want to say to you is that God wants to use you as his instrument. And the holier you are, the more you practice virtue, the more you stay in the grace of God, the more you don't compromise it by activities that would take you outside of that grace, the more that you don't compromise it by sin, the more he can use you, and you will see miracles happen. Will you, you know, raise a dismembered child from the dead? I don't know. But could you? Yes. Is that possible? Yes. It's happened in the past. It's up to God's will of good pleasure. But one thing is certain. He wants to use you in tremendous and amazing ways that will bring glory and honor to him, but mostly will point to his love. How does it bring glory and honor to God? Because he looks at us and he delights in seeing his own life reflected in us, the same as any parent delights in seeing the resemblance of himself in his child. Isn't that beautiful? I'm telling you, it's just really quite amazing. Just absolutely a beautiful gift, a beautiful, beautiful gift that God is offering to us. Well, let's go to Linda. Linda is a first-time caller. She is there in Highlands, Michigan today, eager to hear from her. EWTN app is the way she is with us. You heard your bell, Linda. Welcome, welcome.
Hi, Janet. God just used you this morning. I am 10 days older than you are. My birthday's July 6th, and I am very much wearing makeup all the time. I went to the eye doctor Tuesday. I need cataract surgery. I was just researching it this morning, and here you come on talking about your surgery. So you are most encouraging to me.
Well, I am so happy, Linda. I can't tell you the joy that's spreading in my heart right now. It's just beautiful. I mean, that's how much he loves you. You talk about, you know, a secondary instrument, right? You talk about, you know, us being instruments of God. How would I know that you just came from the doctors the other day and he's telling you to get cataract surgery? I wouldn't know that. But there you are.
No.
That's how much he loves you.
And I've listened to you and watched you for years and always appreciate all your wisdom. So thank you so much for sharing. The personal tidbits are most welcome.
Well, thank you so much. I can tell you one thing. You know, I have been marveling. You can ask Jack. I have been absolutely marveling since Monday when I had the surgery done. And I was saying to him, I can't believe how bright everything is. I can't believe how white that wall is. I can't believe how beautiful that color is. I can't believe. And it's interesting because I only had the one eye done. I'm having the other eye done on the feast of St. Therese of Lisieux. When I cover the eye that's been done and I look through the eye that's not done, I can see that there's like a dingy kind of brown tinge to everything. And then when I cover that eye and look through the eye that's had the cataract removed, everything brightens up like by a shade and a half to two shades. It's incredible.
You are most encouraging.
You're going to be so excited. It's like a new day. I don't know that I've ever seen this clearly before.
So. Wonderful, wonderful. Like I said, thank you again for sharing. And I have to have some other eye surgery done, too, because of ptosis. And I was just, you know, wondering about all of it. But I think God's talking to me through you. So, again, thank you.
Well, thank you, too. And thank you for calling and sharing that, because you were proving my point. You were proving what it was that Father Sebastian Walsh writes in his beautiful book on St. Joseph. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, I wish you the best with your second surgery and look forward to seeing you on TV and listening to you some more.
Well, thank you. And do me a big favor. When you have this surgery, please call back into the show and let us know.
Oh, I will. I will.
Okay. We will be happy for it. And I will be praying for you. So once you get those dates, let us know that too. And I will be praying for you. I did spent some time with Father John Paul Zeller on Sunday, and he gave me the sacrament of the anointing of the sick before the surgery. So I would highly recommend that. And I did go to confession. Not that I was concerned that anything untoward would happen in this surgery, but, you know, always take advantage of the opportunity to go to confession whenever you can. But I felt like I was in a really good place to go into that surgery. And yeah, you know, we can't, we can never underestimate the power of the sacraments, Linda. Oh, my goodness sakes. Well, listen, Monique, I cannot get to you today, and we've got a caller that was calling us driving through Iowa, Iowa Catholic Radio listener. I want to hear what you had to have to say, and you too, Monique, so I'm hoping that you'll call me tomorrow. You would be great to start the show off that way. It would be just absolutely fabulous. So please do give us a call tomorrow. More to come. I didn't even get to what I wanted to read to you out of Matthew, but we will. I just leave it all to the Lord. You know, He knows what needs to be said and who needs to say it and how it's going to be received. Praise be to Him in all things and for all things. Get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Please do join us for our Benedicta Institute. It's happening there in Coleman, Alabama, October 14th through the 20th. God bless you now. Bye-bye.